Desiring the Lord's help, we will turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 42. Luke 9, verse 42. As he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tore him. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. It says in the next verse, they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But I can hardly feel that their amazement, great as it was like these feelings that the father of the child must have had, that this mighty power should have been put forth in answer to his petition and this great need of his son. And in this account, as well as in the one in the previous chapter, the one about Jairus' daughter and the Lord's mercy in dealing with that man's need, he besought him for his only daughter, and this man besought. They were very earnest in it. It wasn't just a careless form of asking in words. They besought for the Lord. They besought them, one for his daughter, the other for his son. And that the Lord mercifully dealt with these matters for them. Some of you doubtless have much and continual need of the Lord's help and blessing for yourselves, but yet also have those on whose behalf you beseech the Lord. It may be sons and daughters. It may be others known to you and dear to you. And if that be so, is there not some kind encouragement in these cases in the Scripture? The Lord is sovereign indeed. All subject to his sovereign, eternal purposes. But these things are recorded in the Scripture. And these things much display the compassion and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. If then there be some hard, discouraging case, perhaps, in your family, amongst your loved ones, will seek to be supported still inwardly, so that you still beseech the Lord. Cry unto him according to what Jesus spoke of, always praying and not fainting. Well, this man obtained his petition. So many wonderful cases in the Scripture of the needy obtaining their petitions. Some we think of and I expect referred to a lot more often than others, like Hannah, for example. whose petition was heard, whose request was answered by the Lord. And that there are times, at least with some of us, when prayer seems to meet no regard, and it seems to be shut out. The heavens seem to be as brass, and yet, as the Lord's support, there will still be the waiting upon Him till He arrives, till He appear. Wrestling prayer can wonders do. Bring relief in deepest straits. A prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. Turning as help to the particular case in this part of chapter 9 and the verse I read as a text, here was a man that none could help, and that, like the case of the woman who had spent all her living on many physicians, was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, gives much emphasis to the helplessness and the great need. There were none to heal the woman, and the disciples themselves could not cast out this spirit. And there's much to be seen, surely, of the sovereign ways of the Lord in this matter. Because were not the men who said, "Well, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." But it was so appointed that should not be in this case. The power of Christ himself, not what was given to his disciples in some other cases through his name, but his own power. And perhaps you may see something of his mercy in this, that he himself would deal with this case. Well, the Lord does use means in many matters, but is it not well if sometimes you have the persuasion that whatever the means, perhaps gospel means, perhaps means used in respect of bodily ailments, whatever the means, the blessing, the power, is of the Lord himself. And he would attend to this man's case. And the gracious direction was, "Bring thy son hither. Bring him unto me. Bring him before me." And this the man essayed to do. But as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. What a willingness and desire there was with this spirit to keep the child from the Lord Jesus Christ. See, right up to the end, that is, right up to the moment when Jesus would deal with the case, there was hindrance. there was opposition. It wasn't an easy thing. There were matters that were pressed right to the end, even as he was yet a-coming. To put it simply, their spirit did not say, well, now Christ has given commandment for this child to be brought unto him, I shall no longer have power to hurt him. He'll be delivered from my possession of him. But he withstood it. But would ever have withstood it had there not been this supreme power with the Lord Jesus Christ. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But here in the Lord Jesus was they stronger than he. And the Spirit must give place to the mighty power of Christ. Could not hold the child longer, for he was healed. But I was feeling rather how this difficulty, this opposition, even as he was yet a-coming, is very much like how it often is with the needy still, as they seek to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil will not do anything to make that way easy, will always be hindering and opposing so far as he is permitted to, even in the coming. There are conflicts, even in the coming difficulties are found. This too is very plain in the case of the woman with the issue of blood. All the press, all the crowd of people that she in such a state of sickness had to come through. Well, she must have felt a great need to get to the Lord Jesus Christ, that throng around him did not so influence her as to say, well, in the state I am, I shall never be able to get even to touch the hem of his garment. She came through that press. Our hymn writer speaks about it, doesn't he? If unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found attending day and night. And it's discouraging. It doesn't make it easier. It's like an obstacle in the way. Great mercy that the scripture does go on to record the end of this matter, that though the devil threw him down as he was yet a-coming, there was deliverance in the end of it. Well, have you sometimes found, or maybe find at present, the hindrances that are in the way, even as you need and seek to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ? One that you may have to acknowledge is what arises through distractions of one sort or another. Now you have approved it, some of you, I expect, when seeking to pray unto the Lord to come in that way unto him. You may set some time aside. Yes, and you may be quite alone, because these distractions won't necessarily be in outward things, though they can distract indeed. But your mind, you have a need. You have, it may be, some real desire. And yet, how to wait quietly upon the Lord is beyond you. Your mind is called away. We're full of distractions from what's of ourselves. And this throws us down, so to speak. And though we have set out, or desire to set out, to come to the Lord, we find what so much hinders us in the way. What need for the Lord to enable? What need for him to grant the real gracious drawing power, so there is, like the running after him, the pressing on unto him. But how many are the devices of Satan to hinder a sinner from coming unto Christ? What enmity? We can't tell it, can we, what the measure of it is? The awful, bitter enmity of the devil against the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and against those that are Christ's, as he seeks to entangle them, to hold them, to hinder them, and may sometimes be permitted to go a long way in it, though there is the greater than he, the more powerful one, of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps at times you have been stirred up to a very great spirit of legality. You're a sinner. You have been brought to some sense of it, and that's of the Lord's teaching by his Spirit. But you've got a legal nature, and Satan seeks to work on this, to make it very active. And so, as that has such influence for a while, there isn't a coming unto the Lord Jesus Christ. What hinders you is a legal spirit. It isn't in legality, is it, that sinners come unto Christ? Thrown down, torn. You see, it was in a very distressing way that the devil sought to prevent the child from being brought unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He tear him. Distressing. Hurtful, thrown down. But then, on the other hand, though still such a great hindrance, what of the sense of unfitness we are unfit. Oh, not one worthy, not one fit in self. But it springs really from the working of legality, that the sense of unfitness may throw you down and tear you, distressing you, that you are so unfit, so worthless, so undeserving. And you may look in vain in the kind, encouraging cases recorded in the scripture, being pressed by the tempter, that though their cases were bad ones, though they were undeserving, yours is a worse one. It throws down. You see, while that prevails in this sort of way, well, that there isn't a casting of self upon the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the hindrance. Though the word speaks as it does, though the apostle declared and was inspired to recall that faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, yet you can't, in your great unfitness, receive it for yourself. The Lord can give faith. The Lord can enlarge the heart. But these various hindrances that the child of God meets, all seeking, all designed by the tempter to keep the sinner from the Lord Jesus Christ, to hold him back. What a wise counsel in the hymn. Though again, we can't follow any good counsel except as the Lord give the grace. But one said, if you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Well, not the righteous, it's sinners. It's undeserving, helpless sinners that are welcome unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil threw him down. Now, one other thing I'll mention in this connection. Your fainting, weak spirit. Fainting in the way, you see. Coming, yet not able to press on. Because the spirit gets faint. Perhaps the Lord seems to delay. Perhaps he seems not to regard you. Perhaps you don't feel to have any strength at all, not even to call upon him. It tears. It brings grief and distress. Recently at home we were trying to look at that very merciful word in the prophecy. He giveth power unto the faint, unto them that have no might he increaseth strength. And again, what wise counsel. If thou faint, if the devil throw you down and tear you, if you're so weak that you can't press on, if thou faint, to Jesus cry, and he will send supplies. But one more of these hindrances. Grievous indeed, because the child of God would not be in this state. It's of the tempter, it's of his own wicked heart, the unbelief that throws him down. What need to be enabled to believe? While Jairus yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." Quite vain they would persuade to look still to Jesus. The case is beyond all remedy. But he wasn't left so to stagger and fall in unbelief. And the Lord Jesus would kindly direct and encourage him in the matter. "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Though it seemed quite hopeless, though some laughed and scorned what Jesus said, but it is a hindrance. I'll be very surprised if some of you don't have to own it so. While you're yet a-coming, you would believe. You would venture upon the Saviour. You would cast your care. You would commit your souls unto him. You would be nothing and believe and find him to be all. But you have a hard, unbelieving heart, and as you seek to come, you're thrown down and torn. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. But in the spiritual sense of it, isn't it like this? "Thus far shalt thou come, and no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed." With Job, there was a "thus far," though the limit reached a long way, and so he lost everything except his life. There was a "thus far" that Satan could not pass over. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. These temptations, these hindrances, all these matters are known unto the Lord. We have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Lord knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. He will not permit the enemy to work all his will, it will ever be thus far, and their lives shall be spared, and the Lord will in due time rebuke, that is, the enemy to be subdued, at least for a time. Unbelieving fears banished, strength given, all needful help given. He rebuked the unclean spirit. Do you remember, well, I think you will mostly know the case recorded in Old Testament scripture of the prophet's servant, the young man that was so cast down because he saw all the enemies. Alas, master, how shall we do? It was the enemies only that he was looking at. He hadn't any further sight, any clearer light. Open the young man's eyes. And he saw then what previously was hidden. All the defence, all that was round about them. They that before us are greater than all they that be against us. Satan seeks to hold back, would ever prevent a sinner from venturing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But they that before us, that is, the Lord, is for his people, but he's determined, shall come unto Christ. They shall come unto him. They may be thrown down in the way. They may be distressed in the conflicts, but they shall come unto him. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The devil rebuked. Christ supreme. And he healed the child. Read in one of the other accounts of this healing, there was something that had been very long standing in the affliction, but that was no hindrance to the power of Christ to heal. And at you, whether it be really known or not, I have such a long-standing infirmity, a long-standing condition, and for we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. As soon as we draw our infant breath, the seeds of sin grow up to death. Alas, in our ways, in our words, we add sin to sin. But it's our native state. But as this case was one that had been long-standing, and yet was dealt with in healing power by the Lord Jesus Christ, so that long-standing state of the sinner, ruined and helpless and defiled throughout by sin, the Lord is able to deal with, and to deal with in the fullness, as it was in this case. He healed the child. Simple words, aren't they? But what a fullness in them, really. the power, the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ in taking this exceedingly hard case, this case that none could deal with, none could help, this case that Satan desired to continue and would have done but for almighty power. Taking a case like this and healing the child. Would you not believe it more fully? I mean something more, of course, than the acknowledgments we make of the truths of Scripture, which I hope we do all make so far as they go, that these records that speak of perfect healing testify truly to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But may we believe it with that living faith, the gift of God, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, that we may cast ourselves at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is healing virtue with him. He is that wise physician. So numerous the cases of Scripture, so great the mercy that they are recorded, but is that wise physician that understandeth all disorders of the soul. But no payment he demandeth when he makes the wounded whole. Seek to dwell on that little word, all disorders. You see, the Scripture speaks of one disorder after another, one case, one need after another, all disorders. You may sometimes feel, as I have felt, your case to be very peculiar. You hardly think there can be one as you are. You don't seem to have the marks. You can't see for yourself the marks which seem to point to you as being in the same way or at all in the same state as others that you know do fear God, and others that have obtained mercy of the Lord. Peculiar cases, different, all disorders he is able to deal with. You see, this is the fullness of the power of Jesus. It's what he declared, isn't it? All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. When the man that was let down through the roof on his couch before the Lord Jesus Christ was dealt with, that was something that rather amazed the people. Could he forgive sins also? Had he that sort of power? He would make it evident that he had power to heal, as he did, had power to forgive sins also. Nothing too hard. All power given unto me in heaven and upon earth. And helpless sinners have great need for this almighty power. Nothing less will do you good. No power but the power of Christ. No grace but the grace of Christ. No blood but the blood of Christ that perfectly cleanses. It cleanses from all sin. No righteousness like the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is that all-sufficient Saviour, able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by him. For in their coming they may be hindered and thrown down, but they shall come. Them that come unto God by him, able to save and to save unto the uttermost. Well, may the Lord help each that has heartfelt need of a Saviour so to press and venture, to cleave, to look still unto the Lord Jesus Christ, to come under enabling grace and strength through all these difficulties and hindrances and discouragements in the way, to venture unto him. And may the Lord forgive anything spoken amiss.
Let us conclude this evening by singing hymn number 3. The tune is Ombersley 385. God is my everlasting King, God is my strength, and I will sing. His power upholds my feeble frame, and I am victorious through his name. Devils retreat when he appears, then I arise above my fears, and every fiery dart repel and vanquish all the force of hell. Hymn number 3.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.